All right, thank you. So I'm going to talk about some optimal transfer populations for quantum systems. This is joint work with Christian Akot, Peter Zellerman, and David Tennis. This was actually initiated at the last KITP with all these people are here. But now this when they published in this paper, so all the materials are based on this paper. So this was based on, motivated by this question. So we have, say, for example, if we have some decompressed V subspaces, we have some protected states. Now we can store our information on these protected states. But in reality, if you want, it may be hard to do operations on these protected states. For some constraints, maybe you don't have direct couplings between these states. For example, in atomic systems, you maybe have constrained by the selection rules, so you don't have direct couplings. Now, to do operations on these protected states, you have to go out to this connecting by these unprotected states. Now, we want to ask under which kind of couplings you can do like perfect operations on these protected states. So we start from simple question. We only considering that these unprotected states are sufferable by the relaxations. And we just consider simple problem how to do perfect transfer under these protected states. Now we are going to first reveal some well-known strategies for population transfers. First reveal the pi paths and the adbacker transfers and show. Then we formulate the problem as an optimal control problem. So you how can the optimal control taking this pi pass and add back passage as two limiting cases. So I updated myself through the wiki, so I saw we had some discussions on the how optimal control differs from the add back passage. So this going to, as part of a complement to that discussion, that the optimal control has some connections to the add back passages. So let's reveal some well-known population transfer strategies. The first is the pi paths. So if you have want to transfer from populations from one level to another level, the simple strategy is just using a pi path. Now, it can be detuned or not detuned on less length, but just anyway you can do it with a pi path for two-level systems. So not much choices. So for three-level systems, you can using two pi paths. If there's no relaxation on the second level, basically you're just using two pi paths, populating transfer 1, 2, 2, then transfer 1, 2, 3. You can achieve transfer between the two grounded levels using two pi paths. Now another way to do the transfer between these ground level, if you have sufferings on the second levels, it's the adback transfers. So this is a well-known called stirrups. So if you formulate this problem as using this effective Hamiltonians, so it's suppose this P is your pump pulse and this S is your Stoke pulse, then the stirrup passage is that you have a three eigenstates, and this is the middle eigenstates is corresponding to the zero eigenvalues, which is the so-called the dark states. So if you're using the stirrup passage, so then you're using the pi pulse and the Stokes pulse in the unintuitive sequence, then you start the states, the ground states, it's starting from the ones and add back transfers from the to the threes. So this is a picture of the transfers. So you have one Stoke pulse preceded the pump pulses and the add back transfers from the states one to the states threes. Okay, so this is the two strategies to transfer the states from the ground one to sleeves. Either you're using two pipettes or using the stomach stirrups. Now let's see how we can connect these strategies by using the optimal controls. Let's formulate the optimal control problem on these systems. So suppose we have three-level lambda systems, and we want to transfer the populations from one to three by optimal controls. Now we ask, at any given time, what is the maximum transfer you can achieve using the two pipettes, using the two couplings, omega P and omega S. Now we know that if you have like, if this T, capital T is like infinity, then the best way you can using is the stirrup. You can have the perfect transfers. But if T is like a finite, then this XVT is limited. So we want to ask what's the maximum XVTs. So this is the optimal control problem now. To solve this optimal control problem, we first making some transfers between these states. So let's combine, the first transfer is combine x1 and x2 into a single variables, and making x3 as the second variables, and formulate, reduce one dimension, get another optimal control problems. Now using the pump pulse, we can rotating between x1 and x2. So the theta is you can tune using your pump pulse. So theta will be some new control variables in this new systems. And omega is the Stokes pulse, which is we assume that it's bounded by some values. If it's not bounded, then you can immediately transfer the R1 to R2 with perfect transfers. So we assume Stokes pulse is bounded by some amplitude A. Now, looking at this system, we can see that the optimal choice for the Stokes pulse should take on the maximum amplitudes. Because if you take some smaller values with smaller than A, then you can always increasing to A, then reducing by reducing the cosine theta, making this rotation speed the same, but effectively reduce the relaxation rate. So the optimal choice for the Stokes pulse is on taking down the maximum values. So this reduced to our single variable control, optimal control problems. Now it's on only you, we need to find the optimal values. Now then we're using the standard optimal control technique to solve this problem, which is called Hamilton-Jacobian-Bellman equations. So basically the Hamilton-Jacobian-Bellman equation goes like following. So you're denoting the maximum achieving transfer by some functions called V, R1, R2Ts. This V, R1, R2T means that at time t's, if the R1, R2T is giving R1, R2Ts, and what's the maximum R2 you can get at the final time t's. So now, if you're using your controls, going from R1, R2T to some next values, say R1 plus delta R1, R2 plus delta to the next values. So if you're usually this value is going to be smaller than this one's, if you're using just the arbitrary controls. Only this one, only equal to this one, if you follow the optimal control trajectories. So the Hamilton-Jacobian-Bellman equation basically states that this value is equal to the best choice of you at these intervals. Then if you're expanding this optimal return function into six first orders, then you get this differential equation. This is the Hamilton-Jacobian-Bellman equations. Then if you solve this Hamilton-Bellman equations, you can get the optimal controls. So this HGO basically is expanding this optimal return function into the first order. We get this expressions. And this we're denoting this lambda 1, lambda 2 as our ancillary variables. Now the optimal control basically is you want to maximize this control Hamiltonian. Basically, it's not the physical Hamiltonian. Basically, it's HGO is just the expression we use. HGO is just these expressions. So it's not related to the physical Hamiltonians, but in control, we also call it Hamiltonian, which is a control Hamiltonians. You want to maximize this one. Basically, you're just using simple techniques, simple, just square root, square it, and the best yield is just taking the value in the square root. And you will find out that looking at this optimal control, looking at these values, you will find out that you should be taking these three values in the different ranges. Basically, this says that the optimal control U should be starting from some small values and slowly increasing until you reach 1, then stays there. So let's see how this connected to the pipe house and the steps. So basically, this optimal control says that there's a critical time, T, which we call to Tms. Now, if the available time T is smaller than this critical time, then your optimal control should be equal to 1. What does it mean? U equal to 1. U is the cosine theta. So cosine theta equal to 1 means theta equal to 0. So you should completely transfer x1 to x2 at the beginning. So this is corresponding to a pipe house. So you're using a pipe house, transfer x1 to x2, then using another Stokes pulse to transfer x2 to x3. This is basically the two pipe house. Now, this is the best thing you can do if your available time t is smaller than some critical time t. So basically, if your time is short, the best strategy is to using two pipe house to maximize your population transfers. Now, if the T is bigger, then the optimal control is that not the two pipe house. The optimal control is into two phases. Basically, the optimal control is that you have some, just flip some angles, then slowly transfer x1 to x2 Ts.
But what is that critical time? That critical time is determined by the Tm.
So the critical time determined by the relaxation rate and the amplitude of the base Stokes basis pulse.
So if you're taking U as your control parameter,
right,
that assumes that the first pi pulse can be arbitrarily strong, doesn't it?
So we didn't put the bounds on the pump pulse yet. So this is going to give you just upper bound for the transfer efficiency, if you have a bound on the pump pulse as well.
Okay. So you have the bound, you have a bound on the
Stokes
pulse.
If it is unbounded, it's always just a pi pulse? Because U is always...
In both unbounded, then you, yeah, just the two pi pulse.
And it's infinitely fast.
Right. Now, if T is going to be like an unconstrained, then the optimal control, here the tau is another variable, tau is the switching time. When you when t is smaller than tau, you're taking u is x expressions. And with t equal to tau, bigger than tau, then u is equal to 1. So when the available time is not constrained, basically ut, the optimal control, will be spending most of the time by some small values. As basically, it's your optimal control will basically always stays at some small values, approximately near zeros. So then you can find out that x2, basically, it's because u is cosine star, x2 is going to approximately zero most of the times. So, and you can find out the states at any time is actually in the dark states. So when the time t, available time t is not constrained, basically the optimal control technique give you the steps. So this is for the three levels. So basically the three levels, the optimal control solution basically tells you that if t and t is smaller, then the best solution is the two pi pulses. And if t is bigger than available, then you recover the steps. Now, if you have four-level systems, so you want to transfer the population from 1 to 4, but you have to go through two relaxation states. Again, you can formulate as control problems and solve by the optimal control techniques. And using similar variable changes, reducing the dimensions, and using the angles as your control variables, you can find out that, again, there are two phases. If again, some critical times. If the available time t is smaller than the critical time, then the best strategy is using some kind of a pi pulse corresponding. And if t is bigger than the critical time t, then you have three phases of no control. The first phase is that you first set u2 equal to 1 and slowly increasing u1s. And then spending some time at both u1 and u2 equal to 1s. Then at the third phase, u1 is equal to 1 and slowly decreasing u2s. This corresponding some kind of pulses shape like this for optimal controls. And the best transfer efficiency is bounded above by these values. And this value is always smaller than 1s. If your relaxation is not zero and the amplitude is bounded. So for basically for the four level, if you have four level systems, so the perfect population transfer is not going to be achievable. The best achievable rate is bounded above by this value, which is constrained, determined by the relaxation rate and the amplitude. So for three level, we see that for three level system, you can always do the perfect population transfers. Basically in the infinite time limit using the steps at the back capacities. But if you have four level systems, even in the infinite time, perfect state transfer is not possible. The efficiency is bounded above by these values. Now all the calculations, we consider that only consider like resonance controls. We didn't consider the tunings yet. So, but the tuning, if the four level system, you cannot do the perfect state transfer using the resonance controls, then adding the detunings won't help you to achieve the perfect state transfers. Because assuming you can do the perfect state transfers with some kind of detunings. Actually, if the perfect state transfers, then the intermediate states won't populate. Then the detunings and the relaxation rate actually do not have effect in this kind of systems. So you can basically, you can replace them by arbitrary values. But now if you replace them by zeros, and you assume this can achieve the perfect state transfer, that's going to violate in contradiction with previous calculations. So even with the tunings for four level systems, you still cannot do the perfect state transfers. Then basically it goes back to our original questions. So if you have some relaxation laid on this outside the states, which you have to connect the slew, then the only way you can do the perfect operations on these pretext states is that you can only go through one relaxation state levels. You cannot go through like two consecutive relaxation states. For example, this kind of coupling topology, you can do the perfect state transfers. And also you can do perfect state quantum operations on these pretext states, 1, 2, 3, 4, because they can have any states can be connected by just one relaxation outside the protection states. But for this kind of coupling topologies, you are not going to be able to do the perfect quantum operations on these protect states, because some kind of levels, for example, 1 and 3, you have to go through two consecutive states that are suffering the relaxation. Now, all these calculations are we just calculate based on the population transfers, but you can generalize to the state arbitrary state transfers and the arbitrary quantum operations. So basically, this also holds not only for the population transfers, but for all the quantum operations. So for this kind of coupling topology, you can do arbitrarily.
Just a question on the one on the right. Can I not seek out some alternate coupling mechanism between 2 and 3, say quadrupole or circularly polarized light or some other scheme that will couple 2 and 3 than the ones you've considered? And then I've gotten around the problem. Is that correct?
Yeah, so if you have, can have some couplings between 2 and 3, then you can get around can do the perfect transfers. But maybe this kind of couplings might be hard to do, implement. So yeah, so if you have couplings, you can easily implement between these kind of levels, then you can do perfect state transfer and perfect quantum operations on these protected states.
Is it the case that I can, just a general question, I don't know, is it the case that if I have two levels, there are cases where it's possible that there is no coupling that I can find?
Yeah, that's the cases you can, either you cannot find the couplings or the couplings might be very hard to implement.
Well, certainly selection rules could forbid you could have a J equals 0 to J equals 0 state. Basically impossible unless there's some new mixing. So selection rules could forbid.
There's no coupling, there's no quadrupole, no anything that will couple J0 to J0?
That's right.
All right, I think that's all I prepared, so.
Much. Do we have questions? So you had a proof that adding the tunings doesn't ever allow you to get to unit transfer efficiency for four levels, but how does it improve things?
It's possible. I haven't proved that it can or cannot improve. So it's possible to improve. My feeling is that it won't.
One thing we haven't discussed a lot at our workshop is the different algorithms or different approaches to actually doing optimal control. So you use the Hamilton Jacobi-Belmont equations to do it versus what I would have intuitively thought is that I just want to have some optimal function. I would maybe do a gradient method to try to search for the control waveform that achieves the optimal level. So can you say a few words maybe about the trade-off? Why did you do this from the Hamilton Jacobi-Belmont approach versus some gradient or Krotov or something like this?
So using Belmont equations, it can possibly give you this kind of a formula, say, upbounded by some value, efficiency values. So if you're using the algorithms, then if this value is kind of quite large, say if this value is 99%, then you might think that you can achieve 100%. Or if this value is 95%, you also think that you can achieve some kind of a 100% by some working search harder. So I think the Hamilton-Jacobi equation can give you this kind of advantages that you're bounded above by some maximum transfers.
Right, it's not just a numeric solution,
right.
It's some analytic.
Right.
Something we might consider.
So, question about your three-level control system. So, originally, you have three. You have three state variables, x1, x2, and x3.
Yeah.
And then you transform that into our two-state system. So basically, you have r1 and r2, right? So r1 is the square root of x1 square plus x2 square.
Right.
So the question that I want to ask is, in this procedure, did you shrink your feasible control space?
No, because
All the feasible control for the two-state system are they the same as large as the original feasible control space?
Basically, you change the x1, x2 to r and thetas.
Right.
So these two variables into another two variables.
So you transfer x1, x2, x3 to r1, theta, r1, theta 1, and r2. So
yeah.
It's still a three
right.
State variables.
Right.
I see.
Well, not really, though, because one of them is not treated as a state variable, but as a control variable, right?
Yeah. So you can using this like a pump pulse rotating between x1, x2, so theta 1 can basically tuned by the pump pulse. But in the original x1, x2, you can also rotating like a tuned by the pump pulse. So that's.
I guess x1 and x2 are your state variables. They are not controlled.
Yeah, they are not controlled, but you can using pipe pulse, changing the relative ratios between x1 and x2.
But did you reduce your feasible control space?
No. Basically, depends on how you call the state variable and the controls. Because using pipe pulse, you can change the state variables. And using pipe pulse, you can also change the angles. So just the control and the state variable, just the terminologies, please.
Your control is just this rotation. So that's what you can control.
So
Are you aware, a long time ago, there was someone, I might be mispronouncing his name, and he made a connection. So I remember there was a paper where they argued basically that you could derive syrup in some limit from optimal control. It was a very long time ago.
It's Vladimir Malinowski with Paul, name from UMich,
Palmer, Berman?
Yeah.
Berman.
Yeah. And I was just wondering if you could relate that at all.
Well, maybe a related question that I had was, it seems to me that basically you are describing that in a formalism, so that limit, for you this is the limit with the large t, in a formalism that allows you at the same time to recover the pi pulse, yeah, the pi pulse, for you know, the same operation, and in a formalism that allows you to generalize to, you know, systems beyond lambda configuration.
Right.
And on top of that, since you're using this Hamiltonian-Riemann equation, you can estimate precisely the limit for the fidelity.
Right.
Which with a numerical algorithm, you never know, but now you can be sure. So, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, the way I see it is kind of general. It's answering in a very nice way. I mean, I really like it. Answering the general question, okay, so what's in between, and what can we do with more complex systems? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But the problem is the complexness of the, I mean, this approach is nice when you have a few parameters. The problem is with the Bellman equations, like if you have lots of parameters, then you're stuck. I mean, so usually you would use the numerics when the system gets too complex.
No, I'm saying more complex systems in the sense that they don't do arbitrary complex systems. They, instead of a lambda, they have a multi-level system, and they can tell you, this is a multi-level system, what are the paths that can be used and what are those that cannot be used.
Do you, I mean, I don't remember the Malinowski work that well, because it was such a long time ago, and I'm kind of tired this morning. And no, the problem is that I never get to bed before 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's
that. But I was actually in the office yesterday until 3 o'clock.
So. Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway,
it's getting worse.
Yeah, it's getting worse. So I don't remember exactly, but I remember that they had two different schemes, and they also distinguished two different cases. The even odd number of levels, and I was just wondering if your solutions were related, because I just remember in this paper myself, one thing that was nice was the Sorel-Tyler relation. And they argued that in one limit you would recover the stirrup, and there was a distinction between the even and the odd case. Whenever you had a sort of odd, I think, chain or something like that in lambda system, you could do perfect. But I don't remember all the details. I thought he was here. Is he?
He is supposed to be coming.
Oh, he's supposed to be coming.
I don't know exactly when it is, but it's going to be.
Because I thought he would be much better placed to comment on this.
He may have arrived at the conference and maybe after the conference, but I can check.
You see, the fact that we have all these different pieces coming together is really one reason why we are very angry at Hong Kong University for not allowing Kai Long to stay longer, when he would have overlap with all these people working on these issues. But,
Josh? Good question. So the pi pulse case is like an instantaneous impulsive control. It's like a bang-bang control.
Right.
So if you penalize the bang-bang control, so to make it smoother, so that you actually it takes time to do a pi pulse, how difficult is it to redo your analysis?
So in that case, you are going to also bound the pump pulse.
Right.
So
given the same bounds.
Yeah. So then you are not going to have the advantage in reducing the three-level system to the two-level systems. So you have to do the full three-dimensional analysis. And it might still doable, but it's going to be more complicated a little bit. Yeah.
And maybe one more general question, since we have considerably this time. So Sophie said that, I mean, this is not just generic complex system. So my question is, I mean, this seems to be, the way you formulated an ad hoc approach, so to say, for this multi-level system with dissipation. So how general is this? How much can I generalize this to, an arbitrary complex system?
How
difficult,
how much analytics you could do, maybe the equations just get incredibly complicated.
Yeah, so in here, we through this kind of a analysis of a simple system, so we can draw some general conclusion on the arbitrary couplings, qualitatively. So you can do what kind of coupling you can do, the perfect transfer, what kind you cannot do the perfect transfer. But if you want to give some qualitatively, undercome some complex couplings, what can the best transfer efficiency you can do, then you probably need to do some numericals. It may be hard to analytically solve this kind of complex systems.
is related especially to some discussions about quantum spinning we had in the last few days.
Okay. Like, you have like some to compare in the implications in the, where you have some analytics in the field to compare to the numerics. I don't know, cost might not tell you anything, but then.
There are procedures to solve the Bellman equation on a grid numerically. I've got a friend who does this, and he says that he thinks it's feasible at the moment to solve the Bellman equation numerically for up to 4 qubits in total.
Oh, okay. So that's maybe, yeah.
But then how many control parameters do you
need? I'm not sure, I'd have to ask.
So it depends, like for instance, I think if you do sort of geometric pulses and you parameterize your pulses and for 4 qubits, I mean, you would probably have maybe 10 or 12 or so parameters, and then you could probably just about do it, although you would have to solve it numerically, because I think beyond a few parameters, the equation gets so complicated. Maybe some that I think they probably don't have an analytic solution, but it might be interesting for some cases to look at these cases and then see does the numerics actually at least like agree with these kind of analytic facts, if you will.
I
just want to try this one more time. Ivan suggested J equals 0 to J equals 0 won't work, but I think I could do that by a non-resonant two-photon transition to get, I think that's correct. So I'm wondering now, what is the dependence of this? Questions went by too fast on the strength of the 2-3 interaction. So say I can build a 2-3 interaction for you that's not all that strong. Two photon non-resonant transition is weak. Then would that help to convert the right-hand side to the left-hand side? Or if it's too weak, if the 2-3 is too weak, then it's not going to help.
If you can build the couplings between two entities, then yeah, so basically you transfer this picture into these pictures.
No matter how weak that coupling is.
Well, isn't that equivalent to just having a bound on the control amplitude? Like, so you have, you know, all the other controls you can make fairly large, but then the 2-3 coupling is just, you have a very weak, it's like having a weak control amplitude. So.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to see if the right-hand side really is physically a problem, or you can always sort of convert it into the left by figuring out what coupling to use. And that's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah, if you only care about the perfect state perfect operations, and you don't care about the time spending on this, then you'll basically, you can build some arbitrary couplings between the two entities, then you'll transfer this picture into these ones.
Thank you.
Does Bellman equation assume a unique solution, or it doesn't matter?
It's not necessarily unique, but
it's just a necessary condition.
Okay.
And generally, HJB equation is extremely hard to solve numerically. Okay. So it seems to me from the richness and number of comments that this may be one of the issues that we may bring up again in the Friday discussion. Also, I should mention that Sophie, yesterday, she could not attend our discussion because of the concurrent meeting in the Molecules program, but she had some suggestions for themes for discussions. Maybe you could put them up on the wiki, in the discussions page, so that maybe this is also available for Friday. So before we, let's thank Haidong again.